Thanks to listening to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie. Today, the girlfriends are talking unicorns, location fluid, sologamy, Julie being way too polite, and losers learn. I'm Stormin' Norman, and give me one scotch, one bourbon, and one beer.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hi, Julie.
And Puppy Elliot.
Yeah, Puppy Elliot's gracing our podcast today.
Yes, we usually say no for Puppy Elliot. Must be out of the room.
But it's Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
And we decided that...
We're deciding that...
No rules.
Exactly. Mm. That people probably listen to this a little bit buzzed.
Whoa.
So maybe they'll be like, hey, doggy's joining us today.
That's right.
Normano's doggies popping in and
drool,
out.
Doggies drool, puppies rule, whatever.
Yes, I'll buy that. But he's a doggy, but he's our puppy. That's how it is. And we're Christy, Marie, and Julie. We're your in-house certified life coaches, life optimization coaches, mom's a psychotherapist. So, yes, we're mother-daughter.
Yes, we are.
And sometimes people say, I cannot tell you apart.
But today you will, because I have me a cold, or as my doctor calls it, a URI.
Yes.
And
not
I thought,
to be confused with.
Not to be confused with a UTI.
I. Yes.
Yeah.
I had to keep thinking about that. Never did she explain what URI was.
I know.
And
finally the light bulb went off.
Well, yeah, you quote, you go, oh, Julie, I'm so sorry, but I have no idea what URI is. And I kept thinking, and luckily I had been pondering this question without going to Google. I sometimes I just go, I will be damned if I go to Google for this question. I should be able to figure this answer out.
URI.
And I go, and then immediately it came to me. By the grace
upper
of God.
Respiratory
infection. and it was like, boom.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm dealing with that, but I think I'm on the ass end of it.
Yes. So today we're going to have a really fun show.
Oh, are we?
Yes. On this Sunday night.
I love that when you predict that. I thank you for
predicting it. Yes. And
are prophesying.
Right. So we'll do a little recap of the week. I've got a couple of very odd things that happened this week, and I'm going to reframe them in a way to make life better. Second of all, we're going to talk a little bit of Elliot's Corner, and that's what happened to me there too.
Yeah, we're gonna blow some smoke on that one.
Yes, we are. A little pain. It's been a painful week.
We've been saying, you know what? There's gain here.
There is gain here
with this pain.
As one of the people that I was trained with years ago used to say, "There's a pony in that poop."
And I go, if your life is a pile of poop, search for the pony.
Oh wait, there's not a pony in the poop.
No,
because that would be horrible. There's a pony somewhere around.
Exactly. Kind of like if there's a rainbow, there's got to be a pot of gold someplace.
Speaking of, and then we're also going to have, of course,
speaking of rainbows.
Yeah, I want to talk about that real quick.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to also do our pillar talk. Got like a pretty cool quote we want to talk about. And then, you know, maybe we have a little movie review.
Ooh.
Yeah. We do have one.
Do we?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
So I was being coached by my coach. Mm-hmm. And
even coaches have coaches.
Yes.
And coaches of coaches have coaches.
She was talking to me.
And coaches of coaches.
The
coaches have coaches.
Talking to me about meetup.com and how it might be a way for me to. One of my goals in the future is not meetup. Mom's looking at me like, what's meetup? It's not what you think
is it
is.
Like
Mom.
Grindr?
No, it's not like Grindr
like
at all. It's about having community based groups, like, you know, book reviews or mm-hmm. camping or canoeing, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went on to meetup.com because one of my professional goals in the future may be to have more things less virtual. Because
mm-hmm.
I love virtual, but...
That's so funny because to me, the world is going virtual.
More. But she threw this out there and mm-hmm. I'm kind of saying, okay, maybe I'll look at it and so forth. And I'm mm-hmm. But when I went on there and they have all these different pictures of different kinds of groups and...
Mm-hmm.
And one group was LGBT, but you had commented, like, I don't know what a unicorn was.
Right.
Or is.
Okay, go ahead.
I still don't know exactly what that means.
Right.
Because I know what rainbow means.
Right.
But there was a rainbow, And in front of the rainbow was a picture of a guy wearing a unicorn outfit, mm-hmm. and his horn was multicolor, and so were his hooves. Mm-hmm. And I thought, but I don't know what the unicorn means, to what that really represents.
Didn't I say something about a unicorn yesterday?
You did.
What did I say?
We were listening to Dan Savage.
Right.
And the...
Oops.
Oops. The podcast that so broadens the horizon of our minds. And it's good for us to think this way.
It's good for us.
Because then I'm never surprised.
It's good for Mama. I always have to have my throw-up bag, though, handy.
Sometimes. Sometimes yeah. you're going, oh, he answered appropriately because this girl needed a little bit of help.
Yeah.
You know, need a little bit of support.
But I do have these little blue throw-up bags that are just perfect for...
Well, and yes, exactly. One of the questions was, this couple... for their anniversary, wanted to go and have a threesome. Mm-hmm. And they went on to a site, I guess a king site, and found themselves a unicorn.
Yes.
And you're like, what the heck does that mean?
Right. But they were tickled pink.
They were tickled pink.
Or tickled rainbow.
Yes. As a matter of what was going on. And they were calling to figure out what boundaries they should set and rules and, you know, and so forth. And, you know, Dan Savage does his best job and gives them, you know, the... How to treat a unicorn. And we did not Google it.
No.
I would have liked to have Googled it, but I'm sure I would have gotten a million different definitions of what a unicorn is in that situation.
Right.
But I am still very curious about it.
Yes.
But I thought it was very interesting that when I went to meet up, they had all these different categories. I don't know, 100 different categories.
Canoeing. Yes. Canoodling.
Yes.
Unicorning.
Mm-hmm. Splurdunking, whatever that is. Whatever that is.
Spelunking.
That's it. Splunking. That's not it either. Is it either?
I think it's spelunking.
Spelunking.
But spurdunking is kind of like if you're into donuts. Come on over to Spurdunkin' Donuts. Where they treat
you
right.
What's going on with donuts? I haven't had a good donut forever.
I know. I think
I'm on the search. More donuts. Stop the search. You just give this one up.
There is no more.
There are no good donuts. And for you, girlfriend, you do not need a good donut.
That's right.
That search is long over. So, da-da. Yes, exactly. But except now, at one of our local towns nearby, they've opened up a we call it the Village Bakery. The
Village Bakery.
Not to be confused with the Village People Bakery.
No.
But the Village Bakery.
That's right.
And, what was funny is that it's very socially oriented. I mean, you've got, it's got a fireplace. It's a great meeting place for people.
Yeah, that's what they wanted it to be, really.
And what it is...
It's right in downtown Oregon.
It's a business where adults with disabilities, mental disabilities, and some physical disabilities can go there and learn a skill and work there and so forth. And they have peer... mentors that are with them in the shop, mm-hmm. you know, showing them what to do and so forth. So it's really a great mm-hmm. cause, which is horrible for a bakery to have a great cause because you're like,
I must go support a bakery that has a great cause.
Are you kidding me? Well, and it was funny because Hillary went there and she...
did she?
You know, she's celiac, so she's like, maybe they have something really gluten-free there.
Can they? Did they?
And the answer was they called something gluten-free. They made it out of oats. But they said they couldn't
guarantee it.
They couldn't certify it gluten-free.
Oh.
Because if you're just regular gluten-free, mm-hmm. then you could just get oats.
Right.
You could get rice.
Right.
But if you're celiac, then all of a sudden, you know, could that oat contact a board that happened to have contacted wheat,
right.
you know, in the last 60 days?
Yeah.
You know? It's something very kooky about that all. And, I think her celiac is getting worse again.
Oh.
Well, when she was pregnant, her celiac barely acted up at all.
I mean, disappeared. It was,
yeah, and they say that could happen. You know, the baby is in there. It's, who knows why? And so I think now that the baby is, you know, older and her body's getting back to normal, it's just, you know.
She needs another baby.
That's it.
That's kind of like, you know, what about those people that have babies for their other babies to give them organs?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like...
Yeah. those people.
Well, there's other people too, like they get like 12 weeks off when they give birth.
Yeah.
And so like, hey, I want 3 months off.
Yeah, I'll take another baby. Kid. That always sounds good in theory until you have how did I get eight children?
How did that happen?
And also,
all I wanted was a few months off.
Yeah. Well, then they should follow the millennials, because those millennials are figuring out a way to be, you know, off 3 months a year with, you know, work for themselves, be off 3 months a month a year and so forth.
Well, we're trying to interview a little millennial author who's got a book about how to be location fluid.
I believe that's what he said. I believe that's what he called it.
Which means that whatever gig they have, they can do it from anywhere.
Right.
See, now, when I told my husband that, Normano, he goes, location fluid? I go, yeah. Oh, he's homeless.
Yeah.
I go, no.
Yeah. He goes, oh, he's homeless. I'm like, no. I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's another word. In other words, he's homeless.
And there was another woman that was in his group that's location fluid, but she's a house sitter.
Yeah. And she says 900% of the time she lives for free at other people's homes traveling the country.
Yeah.
And so there is this process of decluttering your life to get that way.
Yes.
Because first of all, there's no way you could have a home back home with furniture and lights. I mean, you'd have to actually make money to support a home. You have to.
Right.
Even an apartment, you have to make money that goes to
someplace,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that go that. And so
you
even
go.
Phone. And I, in one of Heath's bio, he goes, and I sold everything I owned so that I could become. And I swear I read location fluid. And I hope that's the truth.
I think it is, honey.
Hope that my brain hasn't switched things around.
Yeah.
And so it was, and you had a good question. He said, if I'm a house sitter, though, am I paying my own way to get to the house, mm-hmm. or are they paying my way?
Right.
And that's a good question. And maybe that's part of the thing that they stay in your home for free while you're on vacation.
Yeah. Well, we should interview them as well.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I would love that.
I'd love to interview them. I know that when you were at a Frank Kern conference, you met a woman who was a
house sitter. Publicist, but she was a house sitter.
Yeah.
And
is that what you want your publicist to be? Her side gig? Her side hustle on?
You know what? I think the older I get, the more I'm just,
yeah,
I have no
takes.
Judgment in any of this stuff.
I agree.
Because
I agree. It's a gig economy.
It's a gig economy for a certain population.
Yeah.
And not for everybody.
No.
And you I don't know if you could, back in the day when Dad was an over-the-road trucker and you had two young kids, if you would have, you had homes and you built homes too and so forth, but that you didn't have that as an option. But if you would have had people going, what are you doing? You should just buy a semi with a nice sleeper, throw the kids in and, you know, homeschool your kids.
Exactly.
But all those things were like,
they were about 40 years ahead of time.
And they were so frowned upon.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, when I was growing up,
yeah.
Only people that lived in trailer parks homeschooled
or
like in the woods in upper Wisconsin or something.
Yeah, I mean, people who were,
I mean, trailer parks are cool now.
Yeah, everything that we, as you were growing up, that you said that you want to do.
Yeah.
I want to be free. I wanted to
breastfeed. Like, only poor people breastfeed because I can't afford
formula.
The perfect formula. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God.
Now, Hillary, literally, we figured out last night, if she continued to breastfeed after her baby stopped, she could make like $20,000 a year selling her breast milk.
Really?
Yes. But then she's like, oh, God, I don't even know if it's worth it. I don't know.
That's a side gig.
It's a side gig. She has it. It's a front gig.
It's a side gig. It's two gigs in one.
Well, she was saying yesterday, that another one of her staff members is breastfeeding as well. And she goes, I don't get it. I mean, she literally takes 2-3 hours a day breastfeeding.
Oh,
or like pumping.
Oh, come on.
And does no work during that time.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm just like, you know.
I'm done with it.
I am done with this. I understand, but listen, girlfriend, I'm doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Come on. Can we up our ante here?
I need to have 3 hours off every day to breastfeed.
Yeah. And she's just, I think this is why she's just like, I need a little break I think maybe after her vacation, she'll be happier and so forth.
Yeah, we'll and also maybe she'll have a new gig.
Who knows? I don't know.
A new gig.
A new gig. Who knows?
So, Julie, I have to tell you before we made transition, but I said the word transition. But I heard on the news this week there's a new title. You know how we're always saying like there's this thing and that. And this one is called a sologamist.
A sologamist.
No, a sologamist.
What's a sologamist? I really don't know.
I've never heard of it, right?
No.
It's a person who agrees to marry themselves. They go, in other words, they said, I've been around the block. I've tried this and I've tried that. The best person for me is
me. Aww.
And so there is an actual website. If you want to go there right now, it's called imarriedme.com. And you become a sologamist.
Yeah.
The problem is, from what I understand, is that once you marry yourself, there's no divorcing. That's the problem.
Well, you know what? I don't know what to say about that.
imarriedme.com.
You know what, though? We went through this about 15, 20 years ago.
Did we?
And we figured out it was because you wanted a ceremony.
Right.
You wanted a big party.
Right.
And you wanted to get on the registry and have gifts, and wouldn't that be fun?
And you wanted to have your serotonin upped for about a year.
Right, which there's nothing more exciting than planning a wedding for a year.
Yeah. And you get to be drama queen.
Yeah, and it's all about you.
It's all about me.
And you
starve yourself.
Yeah, I mean, there's what better motivation.
Yeah. And there's always that great vacation afterwards.
You know, I think about 15 years ago or 20 years ago, people were all about, who are you dating? Who are you seeing? Are you together with somebody? And and if you didn't have a partner, you felt uncomfortable. I think that time has changed. Mm-hmm. I think people are afraid to even ask anymore for fear of the answer.
Yeah.
And even though most people don't care, they don't know how they should respond.
Right.
I think that's where I'm at. People really just want other people to be happy. They don't know how to respond.
Well, you see, here's the thing. You are Miss Polite.
Yes,
okay. To a fault.
I am. That's true.
And sometimes it does bug me, only because I may not feel that way, but you're like, hello, everyone. Good morning. It's a great
day. Hello, sir. Hello, miss. Hello, ma'am.
So I'm getting my free cup of coffee at McDonald's.
Yes.
And because I have the McDonald's app.
Yes.
Which is a great app.
Right? Yes. And they have great coffee.
That's what I mean. Every fifth coffee is free for me. Yeah. So like end of the week, happiness.
Yeah.
Yay. But so, you know, you're paying the money and you said, thank you, sir, and have a great day. And he started to pull away and he goes, hey, wait. And you go, yeah, what? He goes, I'm not a sir. I am a woman.
Right.
And he schooled you.
He schooled me. She schooled me.
We're saying she, but I would put a stack of my hands on a stack of Bibles.
Yeah.
That was a man.
He was a 19-year-old, maybe 17-year-old, between 17 and 19.
You knew that?
I mean, man, dude, a kid,
yeah.
You know.
Facial hair.
Yeah. I mean, and he had a deep voice and he obviously looked like a teenager.
Right.
I'm not saying he wasn't gender fluid, but I know that look. I mean, for the most part. But I know that at this stage of the game is that it's not about a look. It's literally about how you feel. And after listening to that podcast Joe Rogan had with
Jordan Peterson,
I realized that it is more of a postmodernist idea, which all modern ideologies are false.
Right.
And you're wrong and I'm right.
Yeah.
And however I think is right is the right way. And so I felt like this kid just really wanted to school me.
So you're saying that. I felt like, did he wake up this morning feeling like a woman?
Right.
I feel like a woman.
Right.
And so when you said, thank you, sir, have a great day.
He could have.
He said,
I'm not a woman.
I am not a woman.
And then I was talking to my one millennial that is, not the older millennial, because she's like, this is like new stuff to me too, man. Mm-hmm. But the older millennial just graduated college and she's on the fringe. So she doesn't, she just, this is you know, just about 2 years into it, you know, and so forth.
Right.
And she's like, ah, because I don't know what's going on, but we are going way too far to political correctness.
Right.
I'm like, well, yeah. And I have to tell you this. There have been times that people have said, you know, thank you, sir, to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know why? People make effing mistakes.
Right.
And am I going to go like, I'm not a sir, I'm offended, I'm a woman. I'm like, dude, let it go.
Right.
Let it go. I remember, you know, okay.
I mean, through your tears that day.
Yes.
You said, Mama, I said, what, sweetie? Is it? Am I not going to be able to be polite to people anymore?
Right.
Because that's one of your greatest joys of your life.
I like that.
Hello, miss. Good morning, miss. Oh, sir, thank you. And I heard that people are going to have to be calling, you know, each other dude.
Yes.
And not D-U-D-E, but D-O-O-D.
Well, I mentioned that.
It's a palindrome.
Yeah.
It's the same forward and back.
Backward. Okay.
And so that means that it's totally a fluid word. And so you can say, good morning, dude.
I think you have to go, dude. Okay.
Not dude.
Dude. Well, it's funny because I mentioned that to, you know, Quinter the Millennial, and she says, I said that to somebody. I say, hey, good morning, dude. And the person goes, don't call me dude. And you're like,
what?
So we are all so horribly offended all the time.
Oh, we're so offended.
And we're all so prickly, right? Like, ugh. But truly.
And through your tears, you said, Mama, can I call people?
Well, you know what?
Miss.
What did you say? You said, just drop it.
I said,
forget about it. It ain't worth your time or energy. Yeah, forget about it. And then deep down, you were happy.
Yeah, I was.
And you're like, maybe I'm so tired of you being so effing cheerful. Nice. Jesus.
Yeah.
Geez Louise, who do you think you are?
Who are you, a unicorn?
Yeah, exactly. Stop being so cheery. So deep down, you were happy.
I was a little happy.
Did you give that guy $30 or something beforehand?
How'd you know?
I don't know. You know, it was, did you pass him a 10 or a 20, but now it's up to 30.
Up to 30.
Yeah. Nobody does anything for $10. I mean, that's just the way it is. I really felt sorry for? I felt sorry for Chip and JoJo from my TV show, HGTV.
Yeah.
Because why? Because they are really programming their kids to be polite.
Yeah.
And say, thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
You know, I mean, what are those kids going to do?
Yeah, well, who are they? Yeah.
What's going to happen to
them? They're going to have to stay in Texas.
They're going to have to live in Texas. Out of Austin.
And in Waco.
I guess.
Yeah, they can't get near Austin.
They'd be like.
Or even San Antonio.
Yeah, really. That's for sure. So. I don't know. I mean, and then what happens is if we stay in our little pockets of comfortability, when we leave those pockets, we feel fear.
Yeah.
And if being like, oh my God, is this what the world's turning into?
Mm-hmm.
No, the world's not turning into anything. You have pockets of this, pockets of that. And because of social media.
I want a pocket protector.
That's what Dan Savage calls it. And that pocket's protected. Yes, exactly.
But I'm bummed.
But I'm bummed.
So now that we're sologamous and I've married myself.
Mm-hmm. But I think, though, if people go, oh, you know, I think they just wanted to call. If they had a title for themselves,
mm-hmm.
where more than just five people felt the same way,
mm-hmm.
they're like, no big deal.
Right.
But you can be single and not have to worry about being a sologamist.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's a very...
But why a sologamist? Like, you're not marriedism. I mean...
Marriedism? What?
About marriedist? Or,
no, but...
What's the word they're mimicking?
Being solo. S-O-L-O-gamist.
Oh, sologamist.
So, but a sologamist. That's how they're pronounced.
Oh, sologamist.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And so, and basically, it's like you've been around the block, you've dated this, you've dated that, you've lived this, and you lived that, and you come to the final conclusion,
right,
that there ain't nobody better than you.
Right.
And well, then you go, and you have the engagement.
Right.
And you have the little wedding.
Right.
And you sign up at the registry for imarriedme.com. I imagine you go on the honeymoon.
It is truly just
But they say
a
you
way.
Can't get divorced.
But you can't get divorced. But you probably could enter into polyamorous. Yes. Polygamous relationship.
Yeah.
That's it. A polygamous relationship. Yeah.
From a sologamous to a polygamous. We'll get there. We're getting there, girlfriend.
Yeah, you see it. Yeah. And mostly it's just a marketing ploy to get people to click on your damn website. I'm sure.
Or not Hallmark to get another greeting card.
Possibly, that too.
Congratulations on your wedding to yourself.
Yeah, congratulations. Uh-huh. Thought you were already there.
How's the sex?
Fine.
What are you going to say?
Yeah, exactly.
It was great first year, but, you know, yeah, slow down.
I'm tired of myself.
I'm like, get over yourself.
Exactly. That's what I feel about everything. Get over yourself. Yeah. That one podcast I was telling you about from Joe Rogan that we were hearing. You were talking, I thought that was very fascinating.
Was it about fear?
Well, they were talking about fear. That was important. But I was just thinking about how all the protesters are going up. And one thing he talked about, he's a professor, a college professor in Canada. And he goes, I was loving the fact that all these kids in college were having these protesters against the one percenters. Mm-hmm. When literally all of these kids will be part of...
In four years.
You know,
they will be part of the 1% of
globally, you know?
Yeah, that
like they're so
protesting.
Lucky right now.
Right.
But I understand that in the whole scheme of things, because the wealth in America is getting so skewed.
Right.
And in a lot of other countries as well, the billionaires are just getting so
crazy.
I mean, they're aiming for trillionaires. Yeah. And so you're going to have trillionaires and still people who aren't making over 20 grand a year.
Yeah. And, you know, that Mark Zuckerberg came out this week with this idea that he's recommending a universal
universal wage
for Americans. And, you know, this is something that we've talked about, we've listened to podcasts about, we believe in. We think it would be
beneficial.
It'd be beneficial. It'd be a way to have pay for health care.
Well, especially if technology is going to take possibly away millions of jobs.
It will take away millions of jobs. And so, and Mark Zuckerberg came out with that, and then I started to watch Fox.
Yes.
And oh my God, you would have thought that
the world ended.
The world ended.
Yeah.
Did you hear Mark Zuckerberg came out with this idea about a universal, what do they call it? Universal
salary wage.
Or whatever, wage. Yeah. And they had like a panel of eight people, you know, all old, you know, white guys, you know, like, well, what about personal responsibility? Mm-hmm. What are they going to do? Just sit on the couch and eat, you know, potato chips all day and play video games?
Right.
And it was like, oh my God, they are so out of touch.
Well, it was so interesting.
And I know that there is going to be, if that happened, there would be a certain element that would be like
but
that.
I'll tell you.
So what? There is that now.
I know in Illinois right now, we are closing down social service centers because...
Right and left.
Because our state government can't pass a budget. So what if everybody had a minimum wage?
Yes.
Now, that wasn't taken away if you got a job.
Right. I totally agree with that.
Because that's what stops it. Like,
and that's why small businesses can't make it are people that are creative and need that basic thing to lift them out of, let's say they're, you know, a furniture maker or something, you know, that they may need that as their baseline to go ahead and be creative.
But if you do it this way, which is you get a minimum, but if you start working, we'll start taking away your minimum, then there's no incentive. And that's the one problem with some welfare systems in some states is that you get this welfare, but when you work the numbers, there's no real benefit for you getting a job initially when you think about this. But if you go, it's an addition to. So go out, start learning, get a job.
Yes.
And we won't take this away.
Right.
You know, and then you're like, oh, great. This is awesome.
Yeah.
It doesn't make people, you know, but how do you
unless you're already bent that way.
Business.
Right.
And promote ingenuity if the ingenuity takes away jobs.
Right.
And we're not talking a few thousand, even 100,000.
We're talking.
We're millions. When you think about automatic driving, or, you know, at that moment, potentially a million truck drivers.
Which is probably the largest, you know, employer.
And those jobs give people the chance to have a middle class income. I mean, it's not like, give or take, depending on what middle class is now. But, I mean, it's not, it has, you have the opportunity to make you know,
yeah,
you're on the road a lot, but there are some benefits to it, you know, and so forth. So I'm curious, but if we tackle this problem with old philosophies, mm-hmm. we will get nothing but chaos. We right. really need to tackle this with new information, right. new.
But am I wrong, though, in thinking that if there was this universal wage, then we could, you know, because like Australia, for their health care, they take 2%.
Right.
Out of everybody's. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like you take 2% out of that for your health care. And
right.
there'd be a way to fund all these like human services yeah. things and things like that. And then people would go, especially creative types who would, you know, don't fit in with an ordinary, you know, 8-to-5 job or whatever. Right. They may go, oh, I've got enough of a baseline here. You know,
or that even non-creative types. I mean, people who want to work in the social services that go, how can I be a social worker when it only pays this much money?
Right.
And I got student loans.
Right.
And I got this.
Well, you were talking to Hillary, and she's sort of looking around for a different job. She has her master's degree in library science, and she was, you know, kind of just looking around in Oregon, which is our yeah. town just to the south of us, or is it?
North.
West. North? Oh, okay. They're opening up a brand new library and looking for an MLS, Master's in Library Science, starting at?
$10 an hour.
Ooh. Ooh. And her assistant is at?
Eight. Like, what?
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people yes. applying for that.
Yeah. And I asked, I go, they could not possibly be asking for someone with their master's degree. And she goes, I don't know, but when you ask for a librarian, that's a kind of assumption.
Yeah.
So I go, there must be a misprint, because how dare they? Mm-hmm. How dare they think that? That's crazy.
But see, they could if they had that yes, basic
it would be
universal wage.
That.
Yeah.
And so it would work out.
I think it would work out. I think it would level out and
yeah.
work out.
And even if you said, hey, everybody gets this initial wage, and maybe you had to do 10 hours of volunteer work a
100%,
month
for it. Right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, or
right.
20. There's a way that we could do it.
We could work it.
That we could work it and be beneficial for everybody.
Right. Just like the Israeli, but everybody's got to go in the army for a year or two.
Yeah. But I think we could figure this out and we can make it work.
Yes.
You ready for a little movie talk? Real quick.
Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. And see how many Sherpa hats there are. You know what I mean.
So here we are in our movie section. This is going to be quick. We saw this movie.
Human Centipede?
Yes.
Is that the one you're thinking
yes.
of?
Yes. We haven't seen anything else in the last couple weeks.
No.
I don't know what to say about it. I literally don't. That's what we're
going to do. We fast forward through it.
I
did have my little blue vomit bag.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're being so cute today because you are putting your microphone close to your mouth and farther away from your mouth.
And that's cute of me.
Yeah. It's making me having to work twice as hard.
Sorry about
that's,
that.
That's fine. But when you said human centipede, you really gave it some oomph.
And I'm like, human centipede.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I said, it's really, honestly, it's just a little dog story.
It's a love story of a man who missed his dogs.
A love story about a man who loved his dogs.
Yes. And, we suggest seeing it fast forward. It wasn't horribly scary. It was just more horribly, like at some point you're just going, ugh. And it wasn't necessarily gross either. I mean, like there wasn't a lot of blood.
No, oh no, no, no.
It's just the concept.
The concepts were gross.
Yes.
And sickening.
Yeah, yes. So,
on a scale of
German
1 to 5?
Doctor, of course.
Yeah, Germans.
Somehow he's brilliant and
insane.
And he had one point.
You know, it's kind of like a Frankenstein story.
Very much so. And he got up at his crawl to, not Frankenstein, the German doctor, to create.
Oh, right.
A centipede out of dogs.
Right.
But they didn't make it too long.
No.
And so
they died.
And then he decided he wanted to try a human.
Right.
Centipede. And, you know, a scary movie like this always starts off in this way, which is
two young American girls
yeah.
traveling abroad in Europe.
And they get lost.
And get lost in a rainstorm.
In a rainstorm. In this, like, the most scariest,
Bavarian forest.
Yes, like really, kids.
Yeah,
really. And you know, we need to take away your passports because this is really just ridiculous. It's raining, and somebody decides to stop him, help him, and he was like just being gross,
right?
You know, speaking in German, but just speaking.
It was a little foreshadowing.
A little foreshadowing that basically German men are horrible.
Except Normano.
Yes, except Normano. And then anyway, they end up running to this one house, and there we meet the worst doctor ever.
I don't know. Frankenstein.
Yeah, sure. We'll go for that. And it's just, one of the scenes, I'll say this really quick.
Yeah.
He first darts a truck driver. You know,
right.
And he wants to have him part of the centipede.
Yes.
But his blood type is not the right one, so they have to get rid of him.
Right.
He goes, "Don't take it personally," and he just shoots him right there. But here's another thing. In this movie,
truck drivers are expendable.
Yes, exactly. That's the underlying theme. And then what I thought was so interesting, though, is that the truck driver had to behave in a way that was not consistent with real truck drivers. Like, he's on a side road as well.
Oh, right. Really,
dude, you're on a side road?
Right.
In a big semi? Right. That could happen.
Yeah.
Like, a little tiny road. Yeah. I'm sure that road's posted. Right. You're probably way overweight.
Yeah.
And then he pulls right behind the doctor's Mercedes.
Yeah, who's like...
And I thought, he's having
a moment.
Yeah, and I'm thinking he's meeting this doctor here for whatever reason.
Right.
And he gets out, and he has a roll of toilet paper in his hand.
Right. And he jumps out of his truck and runs to the woods.
And to take... crap, I guess, because why do you have toilet paper, guy?
Right, yeah.
And he has a sleeper, so I'm like, okay, I'm thinking...
Nothing makes sense here.
So I'm thinking you got a little porta potty in there somewhere.
Something.
So not even the trucker had... You know,
Nothing in this movie makes sense to truckers.
Well, yeah, they were... And the two girls had to act stupid, the trucker had to act stupid, and then the only person that was smart was the doctor.
Was the evil doctor. Yeah.
So... but as you watched it, Dad and I were like, we can't take any more of this. And you're like, well, just watch it fast forward. Then. It's not that bad, people.
Yeah. People.
You're like, man up.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Sack up.
And then, or ovary up.
Ovaries for brovaries.
Yeah, that's right. Like that. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of what the housewives word is.
Ovaries over brovaries.
That's right. Like, that's it.
You know why? Because instead of... bros before
hose.
Yes.
Right.
Now it's ovaries before brovaries.
Got it.
That's right. Okay, good. So anyway, I'm going to give it 2 Sherpa hats because if it's one of those nights and you're with some friends, don't see it alone. There's no point in watching this movie alone.
No, not at all.
It's more like you want to have a group experience.
Right.
Go ahead, bring some friends or family over. And have a party.
Yeah. Bring your grandma.
Grandpa. We're going to watch a movie about an animal, a little centipede.
Can I say something real quickly? I was watching America's Funniest Home Videos last night.
Yeah.
And one of them was grandpa sleeping on the sofa. And the two little chihuahuas are all over him. And he's just snoring. And then one of them jumps up and grabs his teeth.
Uh-huh.
And then so she's got his teeth in his mouth. And she's looking around. She's got these big false teeth.
Oh, I think that was intentional. Because it looks so perfect.
It was so funny.
Oh, my God.
I almost peed my pants. It was so funny.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Oh, my God. It was so great.
Oh, I'll have to look at that.
And he still was sleeping.
Oh,
he never woke up.
Oh, no.
And the little dogs were around with these like big choppers.
I bet he's done that before.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
you're like, oh, little Elmo. His name was Elmo, not grandpa, the dog.
Okay.
And Elmo, you got your grandpa's teeth in you. And he's looking around. Yeah, I do. I guess I do.
That's good. Oh, my God. That's great.
Yeah.
Great.
So you're saying invite the family and friends.
Have some popcorn.
Two Sherpa hats. I don't know if you can eat during the movie.
That's true. No,
I don't think you can.
It's physically impossible.
Honestly, if you were on a diet,
that would be gross. It's not. It's just, it's a mental grossness.
Right.
You're just like, oh,
yeah,
man.
It's just the concept.
I mean, there's a little nudity, and it was appropriate nudity. Like, they really did the movie appropriate
I agree.
For how disgusting this
movie was. Yes, I totally agree with you, 100%. Yeah.
And, and there was a, and I would say
Would you say there was a happy ending?
No, I did not.
You don't think there was a happy ending?
No, there wasn't a happy ending.
Did everybody die?
Basically. Why are you telling people this?
I don't know. Okay.
I don't really know. Sure. It's like one of those endings where you go, so what really did happen?
Yeah. But here is, I think, the key. There is a Human Centipede 3.
Right.
However, there is no 2.
We couldn't find one.
There's no number 2.
No, just 3.
Yeah.
Which I think is hysterical.
Which is like, I don't know.
My feeling is that the people who created Human Centipede 1 had Super Centipede 2 already, like, in the making, but didn't go all the way through. Mm-hmm. So somebody else could do, you know, Human Centipede 3,
right,
which takes place in
America.
In America, at a prison.
In a prison. With, you know, by evil, an evil warden.
Yep, not good.
He's not the evil Dr. Frankenstein, but the evil warden.
So you ready for a little Elliot's Corner?
Yes.
I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner. Okay, so here we are, Elliot's Corner.
Can I just say, I can't believe that we did a movie review of the Human Centipede. Yeah,
well, you know, we had to,
because we're those girls.
We're those girls.
We're those girls.
And I think we did the best movie review ever. Yes.
Yes. We just did the best movie review ever of the Human Centipede.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, this was a really difficult week for me.
Yeah, this is Julie was in, Julie's been, her pain body's been activated this week
for sure, and I've really had to work all of my processes to get better at to dealing with this.
Yes,
and I've pulled out all my tricks and all the quotes of people that I've, you know,
and so, did it work?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, so let's tell the story.
Okay, so we have a gazebo. A doggy gazebo out in our front yard. Now, where we live in a complex, but we literally have no neighbors.
And right. We live in a subdivision. It's a lake subdivision.
A rural lake subdivision.
Yeah.
Like, and, like, yeah, we have think no neighbors. In the middle of farm country, they years ago dug up a lake and a golf course and you
planted a bunch of trees and bushes.
Yeah, and people slowly but surely have been finding their way out to it.
Yes.
And so forth. But there's no reason people have to walk through in front of our house.
Never.
They just choose to.
Right.
And no reason people have to drive in front of my house either.
Never.
They just choose to.
Right.
We have zero neighbors.
Free choice.
And we have a doggy gazebo, which is like a nice little cute thing that we sometimes put Elliot out there to chill while I'm vacuuming or doing other stuff. And sometimes he's out there maybe a couple hours at the most. And I will have to say, he's a barker. He doesn't just bark for no reason. He's not like a perpetual barker. But if a car drives by, or if a runner, or a walker, or a dog, he'll bark. Gets a little annoying, I will admit. And he's not out there at night, and he's not out there all day.
No.
But I was walking and texting, you know, in front of my house with the dog. And this one walker who I know walks in front of the house a lot.
I mean, we see him every day.
And he's not always, Elliot's not always out there.
No.
I'm walking, Elliot, he cuts me off guard, and Elliot starts barking. And the guy starts yelling at me, saying, I'd bark too if I was kept in that crate all day long. And I didn't stop and talk to me. So I
just kept walking. Very,
so I'm trying,
very passive aggressive.
But I'm also filtering out what he's saying. And I go, okay, I'm sorry, sir. What'd you say?
Yeah, I know you're polite, sir.
Yeah,
good morning, sir. Are you having a wonderful day?
I'm not really understanding. I go, what'd you say? Because I thought he was being funny at first, and I realized his energy is really angry at me. And I go, he's not in there all day long. I go, he's an inside dog, and he, you know, and that's not a small place for him. He goes, and your neighbors hate you. And I'm like, who are you talking about?
Yeah.
And as he's walking, or he didn't say your neighbors hate you, goes, all your neighbors disagree with you, you know, or something like that. Or like somebody mentioned my neighbors.
Something about your neighbors, which we have none.
We have none.
Yeah. And I mean, the nearest house would be like 3 blocks away, 4 blocks.
Well,
I don't know.
Maybe a block away.
A quarter of a mile?
No. I mean, not that far.
Okay.
I mean, a quarter of a mile is a long way.
Yeah.
That's too long.
Okay.
I mean, we have no houses on our block.
Right.
Yeah, Normano is ringing into this story. If you walk out our front door, you don't see a house anywhere.
Right.
And so forth. And so And I'm real. And then as he's walking, he's still continually walking.
Right.
And did yelling
he say
at
something
me.
About abuse?
Oh, he goes, he made me feel like I was abusing my dog.
Yeah, but didn't he say the word abuse?
At this stage, I can't remember specifically.
Okay, all right.
I believe that's what he said. He inferred that I was abusing my dog by putting me in that gazebo.
Right.
And literally, though, I have seen people put their dog in this kind of gazebo.
And he called it a crate.
Crate, which is not.
It's not. It's a gazebo.
Yes. And
a plush, spa-like doggy gazebo.
And also, dogs like to be contained a little bit.
Yes.
It makes them feel okay. But neither here or there. But it's sort of like, and he then as he's further away, and I'm like,
and you're apologizing.
Not, and then I finally realized what he was saying to me. I'm going, you're not telling the truth. I said, my dog's not in there all day long, because he's not. And then he does the thing that's passive aggressive as he's walking by. He does like the two hand. I'm dismissing you, kind of.
Yes,
move.
Like you,
like
full
screw
of shit.
You.
Yeah,
and he's probably in his 70s.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and it was funny. And he walked really fast by me.
Right.
And my first thought was, well, aren't you think you're so special walking so fast? As my dog is just like sniffing, I'm just walking slow and, you know,
texting
and all this stuff and doing business. And I came in and I told you, and I debate about telling you because you were not feeling well this week at all.
Yeah.
You were very sick. And not very, you just weren't feeling well.
I got the cold. Yeah.
Yeah. And no, you had a URI.
I had the URI. Not to be convinced, you know.
Exactly.
With the UTI.
And so I really had, like, the first thing that came to my mind was Arnold Schwarzenegger, believe it or not, when Donald, President Trump would tweet him something, you know, I remember him hearing him saying, he says, you know, I never respond to things at that moment, because if I do, I'm always...
Reactive. Yeah.
So I let time pass, even if it's 24 hours.
Right.
I let time pass because then I'm more clear headed.
Can find my center.
Because initially, what I wanted to do was like find this guy.
Right.
I want to talk to all my neighbors.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you know, is this a problem or whatever?
And when you say dude, are you saying D O O D or D U D E?
I don't know, dude, and so forth. But it took me a whole day before I started feeling better.
Right.
Because I really felt assaulted.
I know.
Because it wasn't...
I did too.
It wasn't like he was a neighbor being nice. And yet... And then I tried to just up this to a reasonable moment. Like, okay. What is the truth here? You know, think critically. Think logically. What really is the truth? You know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is... My dog's not abused at all. He's an inside dog, but he's out in his gazebo a couple hours a day. And he loves it. And he loves it. He loves it. He is a barker. No doubt about it.
But he doesn't bark because he's angry.
No.
He barks because he's like, oh my gosh, a person. Oh my gosh, a car.
But it does look aggressive.
I know.
It looks aggressive.
Yeah.
And what is the truth? And the truth is, I want a better dog, but there have been things that happened in the last year or so that I kind of dropped the ball on training him. Like, I felt he was untrainable at some point, and I just gave up. And maybe this is a wake-up call for me, because there have been times that we've talked about traveling or going or renting a house or, you know, and we thought, well, what are we going to do with our dog?
Right.
And we can't trust that we'll bring him along on a camper because, I mean, that's going to be annoying being in a campground. I mean, we're respectful about those things, and we contemplate and we try and think critically.
Right.
And so I really had to look at this as what really is the truth. And like, this guy's a big liar and a jerk and mean and kind of just, I called it like a drive-by emotional bomb.
Yes.
I mean, that's what he did.
I think a drive-by shooting.
Yeah, it felt like it. Yeah. Not to be confused with the real one that's horrible.
An emotional drive-by shooting.
Yes, exactly. And he just chose to do that and not really...
Did you just say it's horrible? You said not to be confused with a real drive-by shooting, which is horrible.
Yes, that's
okay,
what I said. Yeah, exactly. I don't want anybody to presume I think taking a lot of drive-by shooting. God forbid anybody gets offended over everything, for heaven's sakes. But it was interesting because And what I really wanted to do, though, is I wanted to look at this at a, from a higher vantage point.
And I wanted to just kill him.
You wanted to kill him.
And then you called Daddy.
Yes.
And then Daddy wanted to kill him.
Yes.
And then you told Linda.
Yes.
And Linda went, she just called him a dick.
Exactly.
And who else did you tell?
Well, it was funny because that same day, Linda calls out of the blue, which we hadn't heard from in months.
No, because it's been winter. Yeah.
And, you know, she just said...
Linda's our she's a, she owns the Stay and Play, and when Elliot was a puppy, she would take him every day to her play and stay.
And then he got kicked out.
And he got kicked out.
So he's not a perfect dog.
No, I guess not.
He's perfect for us, and so, but consequently,
he's a pretty
though,
perfect dog.
Consequently, though, this week, I have really been on him as training.
Yeah.
And I went and bought the PerfectDogSolution.com.
Right.
Or whatever it's called. Got that. Because at the moment, going someplace, we used to take him to training all the time.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it's just not a possibility.
Well, also, she had pneumonia.
Yeah, exactly. Our dog trainers had pneumonia. I mean, it's just, you know, it's crazy. But so I'm just upping my ante. And I have to just do it, no matter what. And I'm taking it as God saying, I've got things ahead of you. And if you had a dog that was better behaved, you would have less problems saying yes.
Right.
And that's what I'm doing.
So really, God told you, Julie, I'm not making donuts the way I used to make them. And I'm telling you this because you don't need any more.
Exactly.
And I'm also telling you that this guy walked by your house and did an emotional drive-by shooting because you can have a better dog.
Yes. I'm choosing to see the world like this.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why, because I've been seeing the show Leftovers. And every horrible, horrific thing that happens to these people and these characters, it's all because... it's meant to lead you to this next place that you're supposed to be to.
Right.
And
which is the hero's journey.
Which is the hero's journey. And we always say in coaching that right beyond your obstacle is the thing that
is
you
the
want.
Next horizon.
And so we say, don't run away from your obstacle.
No.
Run towards it. And so I could have just been creepy and also just kept my dog out there. I mean, at that moment, he didn't stay out there hardly at all.
No.
He went out there when I had to vacuum.
And also, we haven't seen...
It was raining continuously, and we have not seen him.
We have not seen the guy walk by our house.
And I told you the best solution was I never see him again.
You prophesied this, girlfriend.
And I have a better dog. So
and
those
so
two
far,
things happen.
Happened this week.
Yes. And so I'm going to keep up with it. And if those two things happen, that'll be awesome.
It's all good.
It's all good.
We'll go to Pillar Talk now.
That's right. Here we are at Pillar Talk.
Thank you, Doris Day.
Yay. Real quick, we only got 4 minutes left of the show.
Well, Julie, what are we talking about in Pillar Talk today?
Well, there's a quote that came up that's been coming up frequently, so it must be in the
lexicon.
I was thinking lexicon. Great. And the quote is, winners win and losers learn. And I thought, love the quote.
Love it.
Because if you...
Snap.
Because then you always are winning. You're always winning. If winners win and then you learn nothing because you achieved your goal, didn't have to do anything, you won. And then losers learn.
Mm-hmm.
I was hearing this one guy talk about the same podcast from Joe Rogan's podcast. It's a 3-hour podcast, I have been marinating it.
Well,
all
you
week
have,
long,
I heard it at one time, and I know that I have to hear it a couple more times.
Yeah. And Joe Rogan, who's done over 900 podcasts, said that this was his best podcast,
his favorite
podcast ever. And it's there's so much material.
It's so much to think about.
So much to think about.
Yeah.
And Hero's Journey is one of them.
Yeah.
But he says,
a shadow.
Yeah, and your shadow, which, you know. You don't hear enough about anymore.
We don't hear enough about it anymore.
When I was growing up, you were really into that.
Yes.
And I heard a lot about it. But, you know, he talks about you're not a moral person if you're naturally nice. It's never in your nature to be cruel.
Right.
But if you're a cruel person and decide every day to pick the thing to do.
Right.
Then that does make you more of a moral person.
Yeah, it does.
Because you have to decide.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about, I'd rather be right. Yes, I would. I'd rather be kind than right.
Exactly.
Because there are times when your brain goes, I really want to shut this person down.
Yeah.
And then you go, but really, what's the advantage of that?
Yeah, why should I
be? I mean,
be?
There's not a real reason why they can't have their opinion.
Right.
There's not, you know, even if the opinion is...
Screwy. Right.
I mean, unless it's cruel, then I would shut it down. But if it's not, you know, whatever. But I'd rather be just kind. But this idea, though, that when you lose, you learn.
Right.
And that makes every opportunity a learning lesson.
Exactly.
And in some ways, when you win, you're not doing anything. I mean, it'd be different if you won after you've been losing for a long time. Mm-hmm. Then you would have this great satisfaction.
Right, right.
But if you had, because during that time you've been learning and learning and learning, like, boom, now you have it.
Right,
you have the win.
Right.
But if you just do something and you win, it doesn't mean that you've done anything to stretch.
I like this idea, too, about, at least for me, I'm learning, but I call it cracking the code.
Right.
Because there's things that I just feel like escape me just a little bit.
Right.
And I go, oh, I've not cracked the code on this
right.
yet. I'm getting closer.
Right.
But I haven't cracked the code. And I think that's what, and I heard this quote Bill Maher mm-hmm. actually said it. And he goes, you know, he was talking about the Republicans
election.
And he goes, yeah, the winners won. And he goes, and what are us losers doing? We're learning.
We're learning,
learning. We're learning how not to have this happen again. We're learning all the things that we've got to start doing, not to let the, you know. I like that because you don't just sit on the couch and suck your thumb.
Right.
You're like, get in there, get involved. What do I need to do to begin mending this
right.
or healing this?
For sure, for sure. So here we are at the end of the show. And it was a great show. I know you hate it. Why do I say that? But go to our website, consciouscommunity.com. And
we're going to have a webinar June 10th?
7th.
7th, all right.
Yes. And we look forward to seeing you there. You can go to our webinar page. Do go to our homepage. And it'll be right. You hit webinars and go up there and sign up for it. It's called The 7 A's, How to Get What You Want Without Breaking a Sweat.
Hey, guess what, girlfriend?
What?
It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.